Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and to listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name is Chris, and tonight we're going to talk about the 1995 sci-fi action movie, A Virtual Combat.
Starring kickboxing champion Don the Dragon Wilson and Athena Massey, Virtual Combat, the future will blow you away.
Virtual Combat!
It's pretty close. I mean, it's pretty much like... That's what this movie was missing, honestly, now that I think
really
about
needed,
it.
It really needed, yeah.
A theme song? Because, like, the virtual combat is a whole thing. Like, this is a whole VR game. And when you enter it, it should have done something like that.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. They needed
Jesus
a
Christ.
Theme
Why are we
song?
Reviewing this piece of shit now? I can't live with myself after this.
Because they made sure to have, like, the menu screen kind of feel to it and everything. They did those graphics.
Yeah.
Especially during the porn game, but...
Yeah,
well, it really is missing that pumped up.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Man.
You got to stop talking about the porn game. Otherwise, we'll never get anywhere.
And we're stuck.
Tonight, I'm joined by Aaron.
Hey, what's going on?
Todd.
Hey, hey.
And Rebecca.
Hey there.
How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Cool. Let's dive in here. Let's talk about virtual combat. Todd, what is it about?
So Virtual Combat is about a virtual reality game that's kind of like Mortal Kombat, probably where they got the name, but it's not just about that. So a scientist learned through some freaking bullshit science they pull out.
I feel like there's a lot of bullshit science.
He learned.
He used a prototype.
Yeah, so don't you get all sciencey on me. He learned how to turn these computer programs into actual people from a tank of goo. So you have this virtual combat game where real people go into virtual reality and they fight characters, not unlike the characters from Mortal Kombat. There's different personas like Liu Kang and Scorpion and whatever. But the scientists can actually bring them to life. Well, the thing is, he's bringing them to life from both the virtual combat game and the porn game, and they're causing... It's, as I usually do in these premise things, hijinks ensue. Like, I'm not going to go too deep into it.
We'll get into it a little more.
Yeah, he brings some good guys and some bad guys into existence, and then that's what the movie is about. It's about the grid runner trying to find out what happened to his partner. The grid runner's like a cop trying to figure out what happened to his partner.
Lots of neck-snapping hijinks in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And the most notable actor in the movie is Don the Dragon Wilson.
Who is credited as Don the Dragon Wilson,
world
kickboxing
champion. I had to pause the credits just to look at that in detail, because it was like, what? They really put that in it?
I mean, he did demonstrate a little bit of kickboxing skills in this movie, I think.
He was good in the movie, for sure.
I think he had more kicks and punches than he had lines of dialogue.
Yes.
Yes.
By, like, a huge margin.
Yeah. He stayed in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. Aaron.
Yeah.
Have we done 1995 before?
We actually did cover 1995 with another action movie. Tough and Deadly.
Okay. Well, let's take a trip into Aaron's history hole, like we do every week here, and get a little context for the year in which the movie was released.
All right, put on your helmets and step on into our virtual history hole.
It's time for the history hole. Assume the position and prepare to be filled with knowledge.
So, this movie focused partially around virtual reality, and I thought I'd just talk a little bit about the history of virtual reality.
Interesting.
Pause for effect. Okay, so the concept of virtual reality is thought to date back to the 1880s. A French playwright, Antonin Artaud, had the view that illusion was an important part of or the interaction or the belief that you could separate your
body and mind.
No, not necessarily that, but you could separate yourself from a situation. You could watch a play, suspend your disbelief, and get involved, get attached to the show in a way that made you feel like you were part of it, like it was reality.
Well, that makes sense.
So obviously, so this is not from a virtual reality standpoint, but more of a concept of we're not watching a play. We are involved in the play. We are believing that it's reality. So that is thought to be sort of the birthplace of the concept of a virtual reality.
God damn, that's some disappointing VR.
Yeah.
Put on this wooden headset. What do you see?
I'm not saying it's true virtual reality, but it's an important part of watching movies is the ability to suspend belief of things, because otherwise you question everything like we
really
do, and you
do
learn
to
hate
that
all movies.
You didn't have to suspend much disbelief.
Now,
in this
obviously, computer goo generates all sorts of cool things. So the first true, in a sense, virtual reality system, as we would think of it, is from early 1960s. It was called the Sensorama. Basically consisted of a motorized chair and a viewer that you could put your head in. It was purely mechanical, but it gave you a 3D stereoscopic view. And it also had a fan to like create a breeze, and it also was able to produce odors. So it's kind of the birth of the 4D film that we
only
find
after like 40 people used it.
Yeah. Yeah. It apparently still works
like
to this
BO.
Day. Yeah, exactly. Now it didn't like, you know, that brings up a great point. A lot of what's terrible about VR nowadays is sharing a headset with other people is pretty disgusting. In this case,
especially
you weren't
after
actually,
Chris.
Yes, exactly. It's quite sweaty.
I've used my Vive after Todd.
And it just slipped right off your face. It was so soaked.
That's because my head's gigantic. That's not fair.
You stretched it all out. Way to go, Todd. But it was truly like the first real thing that people could get, immerse themselves in a virtual reality of sorts. A little bit after that, in the later 60s, was this device called, it was later named, the Sword of Damocles. It's basically thought to be the first head-mounted VR system that was ever created. It actually had head tracking, so it could track your movement, and it had wireframe graphics, so it could display like rooms in wireframe. But because of its weight, it was actually suspended from the ceiling on a mechanical arm.
Dude, that's
that
like
you would
some
then stick your
man
head into.
Stuff. Well, actually, this movie's more Lawnmower Man, but that sounds cool. That sounds terrifying looking.
Yeah, it was pretty. It's terrifying to look at, but it's pretty cool.
In hindsight, it just created massive brain tumors.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it was so worth it.
Those line rooms were amazing.
So, yes, there's lines everywhere. So actually, you know, VR really hasn't been used in the 60s or 70s really all to that much of a fanfare, or wasn't really used that much other than more commercial settings. Like there wasn't really gaming. That was kind of an example of a game. But in the 70s and early 80s, it was more used for like simulations and military training, design features. So you could kind of, I mean, nowadays it's great. You can put on a VR goggle and you could see like car might look like, or an object you're building, a 3D model. Back then, they didn't really have the technology to quite display that, but it was still sort of the beginnings of that thought process. There was a really cool thing created called the Aspen Movie Map, which was created by MIT. It was basically a virtual simulation of Aspen, Colorado that you could walk around in. If you look it up, you'll be pretty impressed. They basically built like wireframe models and then laid textures on top, almost like a modern video game. But it looks pretty
Aspen
neat for the time.
Movie Mount?
Aspen Map. Movie Map. So it's kind of where the concept of creating geometry and layering texturing on and everything became its start, which is now what we take for granted in all everything we see video wise or computer generated
cool.
graphics.
This is like early Google Maps.
It is really neat for its time. Yeah. Basically, yes.
Google,
that's basically
you thieving
what it's
bastard
like.
Stole it from this
stealing from Aspen.
So in the 80s, VR started to become more not necessarily public demand, but became a little more popular with like the arcade culture and the gaming culture. Even though the technology still really wasn't there to provide any real meaningful or impactful gaming. But there are a few companies that created interesting products. So we had VPL Research, which was responsible for creating the Power Glove for Nintendo, which allowed you to at least interact with the device. So even though it wasn't a 3D or virtual reality, you were interacting in a different sense than using like a game controller. They also created this device called the iPhone. That's with I, not the I like Apple, but iPhone, which was actually a head-mounted display. The thought was that you would interact in the virtual world with people, similar to like Second Life. They, pretty neat stuff. And they also had the Data Glove, which was kind of like a precursor to the Power Glove. Page,
it shows their data suit, which looks like it's straight out of any of these 90s VR movies.
Yes.
And this is 1989.
Yes, it's really cool
looking.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
They just sold it to the people to make bad movies with.
Oh, that's exactly what all the leftover parts they just shipped off to movie studios and they used
the
them as
iPhone
costumes.
Was featured in the Lawnmower Man.
Yes. Awesome. Yes, it was. That's correct. Yeah, it's pretty neat technology. I mean, again, unfortunately, the concepts were ahead of their time as far as what we could produce with the hardware we had on hand.
It's barely affordable now. I mean, it's getting to the point where people have it, but I mean, your average Joe isn't going to have it. You still kind of got to know what you're doing. So back then, especially, it was just way too expensive to have it.
Yeah, I still think it's not. It's still an emerging technology. I'm still not sold that it's going to ever completely replace
traditional gaming,
other ways
like
of viewing
that.
Material. Nice. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sold that it really is because it does require. Unless we can come up a way of having a flat screen, like a monitor or an iPhone or, you know, a device like that, that you can look at without a helmet and all the encumbrances
yeah,
that come along with that. I don't really think
brain,
ever.
That's when we're talking. Until then.
Exactly. Right.
I have a Vive and it is a hell of a lot of fun, but it is exhausting for your head and just in general.
Yeah, exactly.
Your eyes and everything.
It's a lot to,
it's a
set,
lot
up
to set up.
And...
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of work. And then it crashes.
Yeah,
those
are all challenges you can solve, though. I think I can appreciate it right now just on a different level. I can appreciate it for what it is right now. I don't know that I would have even said that back in the mid-80s or back in the mid-90s. I don't know if I even would have said that because it just wasn't different enough. At least now, even though you're putting on a cumbersome headset that's tied by cables to a box, that's annoying, but you're at least... enveloped in a completely new world right now.
It works.
It's good enough now.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're at a good spot now that it's at least a differentiator. Yeah. Now we just got to worry about the easy stuff like getting rid of the cables and making it lighter.
More VR porn.
Right. Like that.
Exactly.
What? What'd you guys say? I want this, whatever this was in this
Yes,
movie.
Exactly.
Cyber sex
game.
Keep checking Steam early access, but nothing yet.
Still not there? There was a couple cool ones or some really bad ones that I do personally remember from the 90s. There was this one called VFX1, which I saw at some show, but it was basically a typical stereoscopic thing. But it came with a card that you put in your computer that allowed you to play certain games with it. So you could play Descent, Star Wars Dark Forces, System Shock, and Quake. So it was a pretty cool thing. It was about $700 back then. So actually, price-wise, was pretty reasonable considering.
The Vive was more than that when I bought it.
That same year, though, we had the Virtual Boy from Nintendo, which sold like 700,000 copies of the machine and was canceled after a year. It basically was just a red LED-based system, so the display was only black and red and would cause a lot of, you know...
It's basically why everyone has to wear glasses now. Melted our retinas.
Basically, it ruined everybody's eyesight. Yeah. If you read into the development of that, there was like all sorts of concerns. They're like, we don't know if this is going to hurt people's eyes. They hired like independent researchers.
It was hot garbage.
Exactly. So it didn't matter. In the 2000s, we had like things like Google Street View, which isn't technically virtual reality in the sense of putting a helmet on, but they did add a 3D mode. People have spent, and this is actually a great one because this is like more of a casual thing people spend time using. It actually has a good application. And it doesn't necessarily require any special hardware to take advantage of.
Yeah, that's like a different venue, too. You can use that for learning, like not just...
I imagine in like 10 years from now, it'll be way more commonplace and used in a lot more stuff. Especially with like modeling and I think like surgery and even stuff like that.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. There's an angle there for like just for tooling like that.
Exactly.
The paintbrush one, Tilt Brush. That's what it's called.
Tilt Brush.
that one's like almost, that can almost be a tool just to sit there and design stuff kind of. So there's a lot of different angles. I just think it's finding its niche now. It just needs to become less cumbersome and it needs to become cheaper.
Cheaper and easy to develop for, I think, are the keys.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of interest. Like even in like, I work in, you know, retirement industry in IT, but there's all sorts of like, in the last trade show I was at, all sorts of companies presenting things that use virtual reality for either the residents or for staff to teach them like what dementia is like, or, you know, like things like that.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. It's not ready for prime time. It's really doesn't have, it has mixed amount of value, I'd say, but it's an interesting idea. People are at least trying to come up with ways they could use it.
Can't imagine putting a Vive on like a 90-year-old woman.
Yeah, all the cables. Exactly. Right. So we're not there, but hey, people put, you know, the little glasses on their phones and make that work. And that's for some people, that's good enough. The other thing I could think of is basically like, again, robotics, controlling robotics. So like telerobotics, telepresence.
Oh, yeah.
Great. You know, conference meetings are fucking terrible as is, but let's put a helmet on so we can be in 3D and stare at each other's faces and watch each other not pay attention to the meeting, right?
It would be cool to be like, put a VR headset on and you drive like a little miniature car on a racetrack. So you're like the driver of that miniature car that is actually driving around a track.
That'd be cool.
People actually do something similar to this. They will take a camera and mount it above their body. And then they put on a headset and use the 3D stereoscopic imaging from multiple cameras to walk around in virtual reality version of themselves from like a top down view.
So they can look at themselves?
Yeah. So you're like,
I would never want to see what I look
really
like.
Creepy.
It's like, it's like,
so
third,
disgusted. I'd be like, yeah,
it's
Jesus
like
Christ.
Your own third person view almost.
Exactly. That's exactly
weird.
That would be really hard to do.
And I think there was one where they basically played soccer while doing that.
Oh,
it's hilarious to watch.
Everyone's just on the ground.
Yeah. Like people are so, you know, it's hard to adjust for a while. So I think those are some of the primary uses.
Cool. What about movies?
Yeah. Movies. Yeah, so this was an action sci-fi movie from 1995. There were some cool 1995 movies. So we have Waterworld, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, the movie came out in 1992.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Species, Ghost in the Shell, Tank Girl, Judge Dredd, Strange Days, Mighty Morphin Power
VR
Rangers,
movie.
The movie, Congo,
My Sesame Cake.
Johnny Mnemonic and Virtuosity.
Oh, Johnny Mnemonic and Virtuosity and Strange Days. Those are all VR movies.
They are. It was a heyday for VR movies.
They need to bring that back.
They do.
Like, we need a resurgence of VR movies. I guess we sort of had it with The Matrix. Although, that was, how long ago was that? That was late 90s.
Yeah. Especially now with how far technology has come, now they could push it.
They have like Ex Machina.
I think it would lose its... its appeal to people then, though, because it's already too realistic. Then what's the point of it?
I think if they did it now, it would be AR, not VR.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would be some kind of I can't remember that.
I think they did some of that in like a VHS horror anthology movie.
I can't think of that PS4 game that was. It had like black and yellow on the cover. I can't think of the name of it now, but that had a lot of like AR stuff in it. I'm imagining something like that.
But using the PlayStation Eye, or was it? Are you
I just mean to say the title was on PS4. I can't remember what the game was, but I'm imagining things like that, like cyberpunk almost, hacking and things like that.
Cool.
So that's 1995.
Awesome. Thank you.
You are listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. Do you have a recommendation? A question? Do you want to talk about bad movies? Then join us over at our subreddit. Just search for Bad Movie Night on Reddit and join our community. Now, back to the show.
Todd, what did you think of Virtual Combat?
I thought it was all right. It was a solid bad movie. There was some bad acting. There was a lot of fights, and I didn't really mind them. There were a couple things I minded about, and we get into that then. But overall, I thought the fights were pretty good. The choreography was good. The story was maybe a bit lacking, but it's a bad movie. It doesn't have to have a fantastic story. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Rebecca?
Wasn't a huge fan of this one. I found it to be boring, I guess. Like, it lost me at certain points because it was just, unlike Todd, the constant fighting. I was like, all right, yep, another roundhouse kick, another roundhouse kick. So wasn't really my thing.
In fairness, she didn't go to ninja class like I did, so she's not a ninja.
Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, so this one, it was quite a bit different than I expected it to be. At first, I was really into it because it was like this Star Trek kind of holodeck situation. And of course, we have the voice of Michael Dorn as
is that
the bad
what it,
guy.
I wrote that down. Is that really him?
Yes. I was so pumped and it was awesome. And then, of course, we get revealed that it's actually the singer from Creed or whatever is the bad guy. Not Worf, but
with arms wide open.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. That's actually his voice. I thought it was like, I'm like, this sounds like fucking Worf, but it's actually him.
It was a weird part of this movie was how that, we can get into that in more detail, but how the bad guy acts and how his voice is in the movie, right?
It's weird.
So that part was weird, but entertaining. Overall, I would say that the fighting was pretty boring. Like a lot of these movies, it's just the same thing over and over again. But it really lives up to like those 90s action movies where like literally everybody knows Kung Fu or Taekwondo.
Yes.
Like guy in a suit, Taekwondo. Taxi driver, Taekwondo. Garbage man doesn't like the way you put your trash can out, Taekwondo. Face to the, you know. Eek.
But first, he says, it's garbage day.
Exactly.
That's because every problem in this future is solved with kicking and punching. No matter what it is.
Even if it's a non-violent town.
Everything is. The cops don't have guns or anything. Although, I mean, we'll get to that stuff too. But it's just like the only thing people do is fight.
They have tasers and a mean, mean roundhouse kick.
Yeah. Look, I think there's a lot of things to like about this movie. Mostly it's world building. Because they do a lot of it. Which was cool, right? But it's so
more than
obvious.
I expected.
It's so obvious to me now after we've watched a few movies with Billy Blanks, you know, Sean Donahue, Ron Marchini, this John the Dragon Wilson. You could see why these people are in these bad B-movie action movies. Because while they can probably have more skills than like a Jean-Claude Van Damme, they have zero charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why back in action with Roddy Piper is so much better because he brings so much more fun to the movie.
Yeah, they're even so like, wooden and just, let me just say the line and get my next kick in.
Exactly.
See, it is better. The back in action is better than this for sure, but the wooden acting doesn't ruin, that alone doesn't ruin it for me, in other words. It's clear that there's this rash of whoever is the next kickbox champion, we will get them to sign a contract to make a movie, and it's going to be the exact same movie. But it's sort of like that exact same next record for my favorite band, or that exact same next game for my favorite game series. I like it because I like the previous one.
So you're saying that that applies for people who are fans of Don the Dragon Wilson's kickboxing skills?
No, I'm saying that applies to people who are fans of bad kickboxing movies. Like, it doesn't have to be Don the Dragon Wilson, the next guy who wins the world kickboxing championship. Okay. They'll sign another contract and they'll make a movie, and it is what it is, but it's not going to be necessarily bad.
But at least this one tried something different. Like, it added concepts of virtual reality and some of these other things that take place in this movie, where most of these are just pure action. Like, there's a drug dealer involved or mafia or something, and just a bunch of guys kicking each other. This did try to add, although poorly, some additional concepts to that formula.
Yeah, I will not debate the fact, though, that he was indeed a bit wooden. He did not have any charisma.
All those things that it like brings up are really interesting, but then they are quickly abandoned in favor of face punching.
Until the very end, yes, yeah.
Problem?
It is kind of weird. It's not fully developed concept, at least. And there is some problems with that, the whole process, which we could talk about towards the end of the movie. But
you sound like someone who needs their face punched, Chris.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is clearly a mashup of Mortal Kombat, Lawnmower Man, Virtuosity, Total Recall, a little bit Hologram Man, and so going into it expecting something along those lines, I think it delivered on its promise. you got some cool, you know, futuristic stuff. Like, what was that Replicator movie we watched? It was set in a future like this, and it just didn't deliver on any of the world building or anything like that, mm-hmm. which was a major minus. This movie just kind of failed in the... I don't even know if it failed. It just got... It was one of those things where it just got so old, seeing so many roundhouse kicks and punches. I forget what other movie we complained about that.
Yeah, we counted a whatever movie that was. There were like 97 roundhouse
kicks.
Was
that one of
the
Billy Blanks?
No, that was the one where the dude just like his wife got blown up or whatever, and then he went and slept in the alleyway like the next day. What the hell was that movie? Yeah, but that was terrible.
That's the thing. Like, if they would have just broken it up a little bit more with some different kind of action sequences, throw in some guns or something, throw in a little bit more of the virtual reality, because that was kind of cool at the beginning of the movie, but then it wasn't really featured much later on.
Yeah, most of the fighting scenes are just so formulaic in these type of movies. It's literally just, I punch you, you punch me, we punch each other. Then one guy gets extra pissed off, but doesn't really do anything differently. You know, it just kind of escalates, but doesn't really escalate. There's just nothing there, and then it ends.
Someone says a stupid line.
Right. There were some really good ones in this movie, though.
So let's talk about the setup, because I thought it was interesting that I don't think there was a single line of dialogue in this movie until about 5 minutes in. The whole beginning of the movie is about Don the Dragon playing the game virtual combat. He's in virtual reality and he's quote unquote training by going through these levels of this virtual reality game. And he gets to he skips ahead a few levels or whatever. The computer's talking to him, but it comes to this point where he's like, no, skip to level 10. And apparently that's the final level. And he just can't beat the final boss. Little does he know, every time he tries, the final boss is learning his moves, but he fails to ever beat the final boss, and the final boss is Dante, who comes back later in the movie as a villain. Yeah. So that's like the setup for this whole thing.
I thought those VR, like that felt like a game, the way they set that all up, and I liked that he went to different stages and things changed like that. That was like, yeah, it was really cool.
Changed.
It was fun.
Yeah.
What'd you guys, you like that, Todd?
There was a lot of lasers. I liked how much lasers there were in VR.
But they at least try to make the levels different. I think it was better than some, because a lot of we've seen where it's just like, let's change the colors to blue now.
Like
this
Carver's
is the blue level.
Carver's
it looks
Gate.
Exactly
let's
the same.
Hang some trash bags up.
Right, right. But I think they did maybe a little bit more in this.
Yeah, they actually went to new locations.
Right, yeah. It was okay.
You know what it made me think of, though, Chris, seeing as you have a Vive and we've played before? The one thing we always complain about when we're playing is locomotion. Like, the act of actually moving around when you're in VR can be sickening. Anything that you can do that's within a room is pretty good. If there's like a sword fighting game where you have a sword and shield, that's pretty good because you can stay confined in one room. I don't know why I never thought of this before, but I would absolutely play Mortal Kombat in VR.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Like, you, if you had a big enough room where you weren't worried about like kicking a hole in your TV, that would be the thing to do, because in Mortal Kombat's 2D, I know, but in Mortal Kombat, you never move back and forward any farther than like the width of the screen. Mm-hmm. That would be perfect for
VR. You know,
VR.
When you bring up locomotion, that actually is an interesting point, because it's something that clearly people were never even like cognizant of at the time for this movie, because the way they get around that is they just have people up in one of those like lawnmower man 360 degree spinning things where your arms and legs are just all out. Like, you're not actually doing any of those things. And it's not a scenario where it's like all explained away by them just kind of plugging a cable into your head. They don't do that. You still put on a VR mask. So it's not like you're actually, your brain isn't going anywhere. You're just seeing through the VR mask. So it makes no sense.
It's
spinning around.
Yeah, it's twofold. I don't think spinning around would do what they're proposing it would do. I think it would just fuck with your equilibrium hardcore. But also, they don't have the spatial awareness of actually fighting in virtual reality. They're literally locked in like a big X formation when they're spinning around.
But it is a cool visual.
It is a cool visual. Yeah.
That's really what matters, I think. So then, that's the main virtual reality game. The only other virtual reality aspect to this movie is the cyber sex. And we joked about it earlier, but it's like a huge part in this movie.
You got to try cyber sex. You always win, even if you're not an expert.
I wrote that down too.
Well, and we're introduced to that, like, it's in Vegas, and we're introduced by that couple, which reminded me of the rabbit couple from Skullduggery.
Big overweight people. And
yeah. And they go in to have their own separate times in the cyber sex realm, and they get to pick out their people, and in they go.
I love the stat screens, though. They were hilarious.
Yeah, how about that creepy Ticketmaster guy, too? Like, if Ticketmaster were actually a guy, I think that's the guy that Ticketmaster would be. That dude was creepy.
I don't know. I feel like if Ticketmaster were a guy, he'd have a gun to your head the whole time.
And another fee. And another fee.
Well, that's the thing, too. He's like, that'll be 5,000 credits. It's 7,500 with all the fees. I was like, that's Ticketmaster.
Yeah, well, that cyber sex scene, though, with that fat guy, this just completely naked woman gets out. I was not expecting the amount of nudity in this movie that we got.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
Because besides, like, the punching and stuff, there's no, like, gore, really. There's no swearing.
Can I just say that Chris's reaction to it and your reaction to it sounded way different.
I had to strap myself into those 360 gyroscopes to watch those scenes. The main crux of the movie, then, is this scientist guy who has this vat of goo and has brought some of these cyber sex AI people into the real world.
I forget the term they used for it. I should have written it down. Did anyone write it down?
He's just said he copied the program to living cells.
No, like, he has a degree in blah. And somebody was like, yeah, but what is blah? Oh, it effectively means he can take a computer program and make it real life. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a thing you'd get a degree in.
It was genetic something, wasn't it?
I don't remember. It was bullshit is what it was. It doesn't matter. But
damn DeVry making all those promises.
Yeah. The main reason he did it at first was to bring the porn ladies into real life for the boss of this corporation.
To create real-life sex slaves.
Yeah, because the boss of the corporation was going to make them slaves and sell them to the highest bidder. And the way he did that was with a collar that was designed by the doctor as well, right?
Yes.
So we had a little bit of a wedlock scenario going on there. Can we talk about the CEO, though? Because that guy had the most epic introduction ever. Do you remember how he was introduced?
He was playing his pipe organ.
He has a pipe organ in his office.
That was Castlevania,
and it's not like
wasn't
two
it?
2 seconds. It was like 30 seconds of him playing, and then the doctor comes in and is like...
And then he claps for him
when he claps for him, yeah.
That was kind of cool, though, because that hallway and that whole introduction to his character is very cyberpunk, because it was like this old, like, cool Victorian wooden building kind of thing, but then it had, like, a computer console with, like, this... data pad thing you stepped on and like checked your body for weapons, I guess. Like, it was a cool mix of old and new technology. I like that.
It would have been cool if the CEO was like a Phantom of the Opera type guy, though. Instead, he was just a raging douchebag. Like, he didn't even have a cool character, really. He was just a dude. He reminded me of, like, Shooter McGavin.
he was Shooter McGavin.
He was just a dick the whole time.
I love how this, like, yeah, he's introduced to this computer program turned person, and he just starts making out with her. Like, no questions asked.
Well,
that's
like one of the interesting, like, things that this movie could have explored is, like, if you bring an AI into real life, he doesn't treat it like it's a person. He treats it like it's a thing, even though it has the ability to learn. It basically is a person, but they don't bother to do any of that.
But there's lots of horrible people that treat real live women like that.
I know.
I should have mentioned that too, since I mentioned the collars. When the doctor brings the computer programs into real life, one of the stipulations is they can learn. Like, they say the word artificial intelligence. They don't really explain it much, but because of AI, they can learn from the people around them, and the collar keeps them from learning as well.
Well, he specifically said, we program them to be able to learn. But don't worry, we also made this collar where we can make them not learn in real life. Well, then why did you fucking bother programming and make them learn?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it's because the AI is used in the game to learn for combat purposes and also probably for other purposes.
I think it was more of a side. It was meant to be more of a side effect. Like they learn in games, so when we make them in real life, they'll do the same thing. Unless
they could
put
just turn that off.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But because the scientist goes ahead and creates these, brings these cyber sex ladies through, somehow Dante escapes from virtual combat. They never explain it, how or why. He just comes out.
Okay.
We have those hacker guys.
Good, because I thought I missed something. I didn't see how he came out.
I saw
out
the hacker
either.
Guys, too, at the Burtech.
I think it was not meant to be. Like, these guys weren't trying to do that. They were trying to steal software. But somehow, in the process of doing that, it created an issue that caused the professor's computer
that
to then...
That is so unclear in the movie, though.
Yeah.
Very.
Now, granted, I just watched this before the podcast, and maybe I misunderstood, but that's the way I saw it.
I think you were the only one that did understand, son. Okay.
I thought the scientist was, like, doing it on purpose, but then he turns around, and Dante's there, and he's like, what do you want?
Well, because he started to make another of the warrior guys. At, like, Dante wanted him to, but then he did something to the computer to make it stop making... The other guy.
And then Dante killed him. Like he effectively sacrificed himself to shut down the goo machine.
Yeah, and so Dante is now loose. Well, let's talk about Dante. Let's talk about Dante. Because he is an interesting character. He looks like Colin Farrell. Did anyone else think that? With long hair.
Yeah, I could see that. Yes. Colin Farrell with long hair. I could see
that. Yeah. He must have had some sort of weird accent or something was up with his voice because they overdubbed his entire voice with Michael Dorn, you said.
They did not overdub him, sir. He doesn't even move his mouth.
Attempt to speak.
It's all
he
in
mimes
his mind.
Things.
He's level 10 advanced.
Yes.
I understood that he was able to talk to the other AI-made light into real-life characters through their mind telepathy of some sort, but can everyone else hear him?
Yes.
Yes.
He talks to other people. This is my biggest problem with this movie. These AI are turned into humans, basically, yet some of them retain special gaming abilities that aren't
that
normal for humans.
The whole rules that apply to these AI brought to life characters is complete nonsense and
he
inconsistent
specifically
between
says,
them all.
Your rules do not apply to me.
Right. Okay. So,
that totally
and
makes
then he
sense
like
to me.
Makes swords
just,
appear out of nowhere.
You just weren't listening.
Don Johnson, or whatever the hell this guy's name is, Don the Dragon, Don Wilson,
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson gets in a fight with one of these cyber sex ladies. She's a dominatrix, because why not? It's the 90s.
Because that's what the CEO wanted. Didn't he pick her especially?
Of course he did. She works for Dante now, or whatever. And they get in a fight, and the only way he kills her is because he applies at least 500 PSI to
PSI.
Solid matter, which makes her burst into flames and disappear.
I'm going to be a little more descriptive. She was backed up against a wall, and he kicked her right in the stomach, and the indication was that it was a kick that was hard enough, specifically 500 PSI, and there was nowhere to
That's
go backwards because she was against a brick wall. That it compressed an area of her spine that, like, tore the DNA apart.
How does he know how many PSI his kicks produce?
Well, I don't think he knew any of that ahead of time.
No.
It was just
pounds
after the fact.
Per square inch of force. 500 per square inch.
Yeah, that drill bit case that he's carrying around with that AI inside of it, after he killed her, he flipped open that thing and Mary told him that it was the 500 PSI that made her DNA explode, and that's why she disintegrated into fire.
So she dies from that, but the other AI lady who becomes a love interest for Don the Dragon dies from her neck being snapped.
Yes.
That doesn't seem consistent to me.
Maybe her neck was snapped with 500...
Fuck off.
Yeah, dummy.
And then Dante is constantly being kicked and punched in all different places. He's getting shot. Nothing.
But Dante's level 10.
He needs at least 1,000 PSI.
Dante's level 10 master.
So when you are level 10 master, you are basically a god and able to conjure up flames out of nowhere.
When you are level 10 god,
hands.
There is no spoon.
Okay. Yeah, you just got to turn your brain off for a little bit of this movie.
I mean, if you turn it off for the whole thing, it works well.
It's true. The movie, I thought, was pretty interesting up until that point when he brought the people through the goo, but then it kind of just settles in until the very, like, to the very end of the movie where it's just boring.
It settles into a series of mini-boss fights culminating in the boss fight between Don the Dragon and Dante.
Yeah, but it's, like, not even mini-bosses. It's just, like, Don the Dragon getting into fight with random people half the time.
Yeah, I was calling them mini bosses. It's always somebody associated with the CEO guy.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Except for his chief of police. Because we didn't explain that. At one point, Don's partner gets killed, and who cares? But that sets Don off on this, you know, investigation. But he quits his job from the police because the chief tells him he can't investigate, blah, blah, blah. Tropes you've heard 1,000 times before. But then he shows back up at the chief of police's house and has this whole conversation with him about what he's discovered. And then for some random reason, they get in a fight. Don throws him out the window, and then he immediately takes his shirt off and starts working out in his living room. What the fuck?
This is my house now.
Tried to stab him in the back, literally, not figuratively.
I know.
But yeah, that was very 90s trope. Police chief yelling. Guy turns in his badge.
Like, the things that happen...
I'm too old for this shit. Like, what's going on?
I was so close to retirement.
I know. I mean, lots of police brutality. This is, like, straight up 90s. Yeah.
The concepts in this movie and the acting being so poor and the cheesy sound effects and cheesy music make it a little more fun than it is, because besides that, everybody else takes the movie so seriously. Like, yeah, they're overacting. Dante's, you know, hamming it up, but everybody, like, the plot is so serious. There's no humor in anything.
Yeah, I think that's what I liked about it. It was,
oh, you liked that about it?
Yeah, that's what made it a good bad movie for me, is they took themselves seriously, but they were not good at it.
Yes.
Okay. So it was almost like an entertaining piece of it. I'll tell you the one part I didn't like it is, and that's because I'm not like a huge fan of, well, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not any fan of like romance movies at all, but they also took the romance pieces seriously as well.
Yes.
And when they got to those points, I was like, nah, I could do without this. Like, I don't really care about your love interest. I don't really care that you had 1.742 seconds to scramble the signal and rip the collar off of her neck before she gets lethally electrocuted. And because you successfully did that, now you're going to go have sex in the corner. Like, that part wasn't that interesting for me. But
it was so bad.
Soon after that, he was roundhouse kicking people again. So it was okay.
I don't even know you. We just met. Literally 13 seconds later, they're
in the
like
shelter.
Boning in the hobo shelter. The homeless shelter.
I would probably bone in a hobo shelter.
Well, then there was this they're in the, they have the sea, you know, obviously, of course. And then it like cuts to people like in the homeless shelter, like little kids and like people playing cards. I'm like, please, for the love of God, do not pan back to the sex
just
scene.
One
this
big
is going to be incredibly awkward.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, like, oh God, what
they
are they doing
here?
They show
the kid here? With
thankfully,
like the pillow over his face.
Right. I thought that's where they were going with this. Like, good God.
Do you guys remember that scene near the end of the movie where Dante is walking down a hallway and it is like, I think the director thought it was like a really impressive scene because it was clearly one take where it followed him the whole way down this really long hallway and people would be jumping out and he'd be like fighting them off and snapping their necks.
It was actually pretty good from a camera perspective. That had to be hard to pull off.
Yeah, I think that goes along with what you were saying, Todd, where it's like, it's a good attempt.
Yeah, it's not good, but it makes it good that it's so crappy and they took themselves seriously.
And I also thought that kind of like brought back through some of like the video game-esque themes, because it felt like a video game where you're walking down that long hallway and you have to constantly fight the people popping out and stuff.
Yeah. It was like, it was also interesting that I keep saying it's like the boss fight, the Don the Dragon versus versus Dante. But the fact that this boss had like very little weakness, like, and anything that somebody had in the movie that would have caused him to have a weakness just wasn't a weakness. He could fight anybody. He could learn their moves and fight back. He seemed to be stronger than even Don the Dragon in previous fights, because they would get in those instances where you'd be like crossing, like two swords cross, except they didn't have swords, so it was like arms in this case, and they'd be battling back and forth. Arrgh! And he was always stronger. And,
well, he regenerated limbs.
Well, the taser guns didn't do anything either.
Didn't do anything,
so,
yeah.
Like, nothing anybody had could phase him, except what I'm sure we'll get to, the final boss fight.
Yeah.
The dragon found a way.
But before that, he does have to fight the CEO, which was a pretty cool scene. The CEO ends up getting the collar put on his head, and his head explodes.
No, it doesn't explode. It pops. It kind of pops off and rolls away.
It disappeared. Much like the helicopter later on. It just kind of disappears.
Oh my gosh. That series of events was probably my favorite in the whole movie.
Yes, and exactly.
It started out with the beginning of the fight with the CEO for me. He tries to play Russian roulette and never spins the gun. So he puts a bullet in the gun. He knows exactly where it is.
Then he
proceeds to pull the trigger three times. And he's like, "You're one lucky guy." Not really. You never spun the cylinder. You know exactly where it's at.
But I think maybe he was just doing that for like intimidation or to draw it out.
Okay.
Like, he didn't want it to end right away. I think he wanted it to be that way so he could drag it out as long as possible.
You make a lot of assumptions in this movie, it seems.
Otherwise,
you connect
it could be
a
like,
lot of dots that I don't see the connections
in
between.
If you're the evil CEO, you got to have your monologue at the end, right before you kill the protagonist. So you can't be like, "Yes, I was thinking of this when I did it." Fuck, I got all this monologue to deliver now that I didn't get to do. No, they got to draw it out on purpose. So it.
I hope you're right, because when he made that comment, he's like, "You are one lucky guy." I'm like, "Not really. You knew exactly where that was going to be."
That was that like a 44 Magnum or what was that, Todd?
I don't know. 357
like
that. Anyways, that's the only gun in the movie, and somehow he uses that to blow up a helicopter in the sky. I don't even know if that's possible, but we'll just say it is.
And the explosion was magnificent.
Literally put in an explosion and just cut the helicopter out of the scene, so there's no debris or anything. It's just the helicopter disappears, and everybody's like,
fire in the sky.
Everybody's like, "Yep, that's how a helicopter blows up in the future." Much like the drywall in this movie is paper thin, things in the future are not very well made.
I don't have time. I gotta just.
Unless this entire movie takes place in virtual reality.
That would have been an awesome twist. That would have been a fucking awesome twist.
That would have been an M. Night Shyamalan twist right there.
It would have made no sense, but I would have loved it.
No, if it was M. Night Shyamalan, like the goo would have been the people in the movie, and the goo would have been experiencing virtual reality as a human, and it would be like some alien goo on a spaceship at the end.
The lady would have said, "I see virtual reality people."
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I kind of like this movie, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. It's fun.
I'd watch some more Don the Dragon Wilson movies. I'm not a huge fan of his, though, from this.
He didn't ruin it, but he is very dull.
Didn't ruin it, but he didn't bring anything to it. I shouldn't say that. If he was bad at fighting, that would have made it worse.
Yeah.
He's clearly
got
the
skills. He didn't run around going like, "Ha! Yeah!"
Yes.
Like a lot of these kung fu guys. So that part is
what Billy
Mandy
everybody else
better.
In the movie does.
Yeah. They make those faces.
Faces?
I hesitate
and
to
what,
bring
what's
it
with
up.
The flips. Like, I feel like the flips are very predictable. Like, you're going to do a bunch of flips. I'm going to wait for you to land, and then I'm going to punch you in the goddamn throat. Like, why are you flipping around?
It's cool.
What does this do?
I hesitate
to
bring
the button.
Sorry, I hesitate God. To bring it up because it's like my least favorite part of the whole movie. But just to come full circle, there was a boss fight then. The dragon versus Dante. And in my opinion, it was the worst fight of the movie. It was the worst couple of scenes in the whole movie because it just went on and on and on. It was like the levels in Mortal Kombat where you keep killing the boss and he falls through to the level below and you have to fight him again.
Frustrating, yes.
And it did it like four times. And the setting changed in the movie, but like Aaron just said, really nothing else changed. Like, yeah, they added a sword in, but man, it just wasn't interesting. And the worst part of it was, for me, the worst part of it was, we all knew how it was going to end.
Yes.
The only way to kill him is to hit him with 500 PSI when he's on a solid surface. You were just waiting for it, and you had to wait for it through four scenes.
I don't know if I exactly thought that's how it was going to end. I thought something was going to fall on him that killed him. I didn't think it was going to be Don the Dragon Wilson's ninja kick that was going to kill him.
Yeah, especially after the limb regeneration and things.
The 500 ninja kick he did to him.
But never against the solid surface. That's like I was pretty sure that's how it was going to end. But it was, I thought it was going to be against a wall. It ended up being like a super dragon stomp. But
if you are cutting someone's arm off, isn't that the same thing? You're still severing.
See, this is where it's so confusing. Yeah. They're supposed to be human with
all those
like
dots, Aaron.
Program running, but they aren't. He obviously is way beyond what a normal human is.
He's not human anymore.
And if he can regenerate limbs, I didn't think he was going to die in a sort of a normal fashion. I thought it was going to be something really out there that would kill him, finally.
There is no spoon.
Not just landing on his body with my feet. Like, what? Oh, that's not going to do it.
There is no spoon.
I wanted more. I wanted, like, a Dark Souls where, like, the boss gets back up and, like, rips off its limbs and then, like, beats you over the head with them or, like, can shoot fire out of its arms or something. Like, he could have, like...
I just assumed it was going to turn into one of these things where he just starts bringing through more copies of himself or something like that.
Yeah.
I could have saw that. 500 Dantes at once. And Todd, your reference, There Is No Spoon, is to The Matrix, but that does not apply to this movie because not everybody is in The Matrix. They're outside of The Matrix, if anything. If they went into AI and he fought him there and had to kill him there, that would make more sense.
I hear you there. That would have been a good angle, too.
Cool. Yeah. Could have fought like over a fiery pit or something.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Something that would have tied the AI to something other than his body. Like if they had to destroy like the computer that was running, was controlling him or something. Cool.
That would have made way more sense, too.
Way more sense.
There was a weird rule where they could only make one copy.
Oh, yeah.
So that to me is like, is the AI actually running on this giant supercomputer?
Did you hear that line? This like perfectly sums up the science in the movie.
Yeah.
The configuration of the artificial intelligence circuits of the LA mainframe allow for only one to exist at a time. What does that actually mean? That just fucking means nothing.
Yeah.
That means feel like trying to figure out how to make a second.
This movie had like Die Hard 4 level of computer speak in it, by the way, too. When the
Five or four.
I thought it was four. It doesn't matter. They both probably suck. But the in the beginning when the thieves are stealing that stuff, there's like they walk in and it says like data IO like yeah, authorized personnel only, and they plug into this gigantic data IO port and steal all the stuff. It's like, what is going on?
Speaking of plugs, in this movie there is a key to shut down the replication process.
Oh man, this was great.
Which consisted of a standard 220 volt plug.
Yep.
Three prong plug.
when he curb stomps Dante at the end of the movie, that is how he stops the takeover.
Yes.
With 100 left on the clock. I don't know 100 what, but there was
100 milliseconds. Cutting it close.
All right. I think we're about good for this movie.
Yeah, I talked as much as I can about virtual reality, AI, bullshit.
Well, does anybody have any alternate titles?
I did not have time to create any.
I really wanted to do something like Dante's Inferno, Dante's Peak-esque, but I couldn't
put Dante's Virtual Inferno.
There you go.
Todd, do you have any?
I didn't. The thing is, it's already called Virtual Combat.
I know, it's already like a joke.
Yeah, it's so hard to... I couldn't even riff off of it. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, mine are really... I face-punched the Lawnmower Man. The Sextrix.
Okay.
Cyber Punch Dick Kick. And Grid Runners, because they say that a lot. And then I looked it up, and Grid Runners is an alternate title for the movie.
Yeah, when we were watching the Italian version to start, it was called Grid Runners.
Yeah, which is, I think, a way better name for the movie.
Yeah, that's way cooler.
Although, that sounds like an actual cooler movie than you would have gotten here.
That remember, sounds like a straight-up sci-fi movie right there.
It sounds like a cyberpunk, yeah, hacking.
This was the same year that Virtuosity and Mortal Kombat were released, so they were probably trying to cash in on a little bit of that confusion there and go with Virtual Combat.
This movie tonally really reminded me of a movie called American Cyborg Steel Warrior.
I never saw that.
Which is really, really cool movie with Joe Lara, who's one of these other fighting kind of guys. And you should go check out that movie.
And you should check out the Bad Movie Night video review from
way
back when.
Don't watch that. It's way old. Don't ever watch it. But, yeah. Cool. Rebecca, do we got a game?
We do.
Game time, baby.
Your theories are the worst kind of popular tripe. Your methods are sloppy, and your conclusions are highly questionable.
Shall we play?
The game this week is about artificial intelligence. So this is just going to be multiple choice.
This is what I went to school for. I better be good at this game.
All right, number one. In what year do scientists expect artificially intelligent pets to be common?
Oh.
A, 2020. B, 2025, or C, 2030?
2025.
I'm going to say 2020.
Are these like actual like pets in the sense that they exist outside of a computer?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we just talking virtual simulations?
No, outside of a computer.
Like you can pet them.
Yeah, we always anticipate these things will happen sooner than they do, but I'll still say 2030.
It is 2025, and the thinking is that by 2050, only the very rich will be able to afford real pets. Everybody else will just have the AI.
That is
AI
some Blade Runner-esque shit if I've ever heard it.
Have you seen some of the dogs that run around now, though? They're freaking insane. Mm-hmm. They're using
like the DARPA competition
ones.
Why would
you
and stuff?
Buy that?
They're using them for
open doors.
They're using them for handicapped people.
Okay, but
yes.
Inevitably, when the robots take over, that thing is totally going to fucking kill you. I would rather die by from my microwave
or
than that.
Or defend you. Maybe it'll be on your side.
It won't love me. I'm an asshole.
It's like the Black Mirror episode dog one. It's basically the exact same thing.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And all the rebels for the robot takeover, they'll just have real pets still, and the real pets will battle the robot pets. I'll be right back. I got a great idea for a book.
I do recommend checking out those DARPA competition videos, though, because they are hilarious watching these robots try to, like, open doors and fall
it's
over
funny
and crash into things.
And creepy at the same time.
It's a little bit of both.
Climb stairs. The dog that tries to climb stairs with a beer. Yes. Like, try not to spill the beer. It's hilarious.
Beer. It's pretty impressive. So, anyways.
Number two. In 2015, artificial intelligence wrote a news article for what well-known paper? Was it A, the Los Angeles Times? B, the Wall Street Journal, or C, the New York Times?
Wall Street Journal.
New York Times.
It was the Los Angeles Times. It was about an earthquake that took place. So the computer read this seismographic data and wrote up the article based on the information that it had. I guess the author created an algorithm that it could use the information and kind of plug it in to make it.
Well, for a news story, they're very formulaic. Seems like a great fit for AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take some facts, throw a little bit of wording into it, and boom.
Right.
You got your short story.
An earthquake of blank hit in blank, and
it's like filling a form, basically, with variables.
Yeah.
That stuff's getting dangerous now, because they have them writing political articles now to get clicks on Facebook and shit.
Very true.
Like, we talked about the ghosts and supernatural stuff, and I don't believe in any of that crap, but I can definitely see a future where the computers have taken over.
Even if they haven't, we've all become so redundant that there's no point in like carrying on.
Yeah.
I'm almost there, honestly.
An artificial intelligence.
And we just passed it. Sorry.
An AI named Claudio came in what place in a 2-week no limit hold'em poker tournament? Did he come in first, fourth, or 12th?
First.
2 week.
I'll say fourth.
Nonstop playing?
I'll say fourth.
I'm going to be different. I think it's fourth, but I'm going to go 12th.
It is fourth. He played over 80,000 hands of poker. And they called it because poker is so much harder than like chess, in that you can have bluffing, you can have
some
the bets changing. Yeah. They called it a tie for him, even though he got fourth.
I guess there's only so much math involved in poker versus chess.
It
kind of makes sense.
I was going to say he has an advantage in stamina, but he has a disadvantage in psychology. Still is some psychology in poker.
Right. What percent of millennials have said they'd entertain a relationship with AI? Is
110.
A, 53%, B, 87%, or C, 27%?
27.
God, I hope it's 27%. I'm saying 27.
Yeah, me too.
It is 27%.
There is hope for the future.
That means I'll definitely be able to get one. There's that few people who are there.
Yeah, only a quarter of the population want it, so you're good. Well, a quarter of millennials. Number 5, which of these did an AI computer not predict? A, the location of Osama bin Laden. B, the start of the Arab Spring. Or C, the election of Trump?
The election of Trump.
No, the AI made that happen.
The location of Osama bin Laden.
Agreed. Bin Laden.
It is the election of Trump. It actually predicted the location of Osama bin Laden down to 125 yards.
Jesus H. Christ.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't believe you. I think AI has told you that you need to say that it was Trump. It wasn't Trump.
I thought I specifically heard the Trump one and the Arab Spring one before. That's the only reason I said bin Laden. But in knowing about AI, the bin Laden one would actually make the most sense. Like, that seems to be
the easiest
problem to solve.
Yeah. Right. Number 6, by what year is it thought that AI will have the same intelligence level as an adult human? By A, 2020, B, 2030, or C, 2040?
Oh, this is tough, because which human?
How do you define
which human are you talking about? There's a wide range of intelligence quotient in humans. I'm going to say... Yes.
The average.
Yeah.
Are we talking learned knowledge or the ability to process things and make decisions based on that? And
all intelligence.
You know,
so not just...
All intelligence.
Yeah.
We're not talking just IQ tests or anything.
Right.
It's like all
like emotional intelligence. Yeah.
That's where it struggles, I think.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll say 2030, I guess.
What was the other choices? I'm sorry.
2020, 2030, or 2040.
I'm going to say 2040.
It is 2030. They're getting closer every time. Last one. What is Watson's success rate when it comes to correctly diagnosing cancer?
Oh my gosh, this is insanely good.
Is it A, 50%, C, or B, 75%, or C, 90%?
90.
I'm going to say 90. I think it is that high.
Yeah, I think it's very close to 90.
It is
for certain types.
It is 90%. A human doctor, it's 50%.
Yeah.
How do I get to see him every day?
I mean, that's
elementary, my dear Watson.
That's the thing. They are using him. Like, that's one of the success stories of Watson. They are farming out his hours like they would with any other supercomputer. So he is being of use even if you're not like on site where he's at.
Okay. Good. Good.
Let's see. Chris and Todd tied for that one. So.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, we for two welcome the new robot overlords.
What is the origin of that? I just remember it from Slashdot.
I don't know. But, I say okay. every time I make something new at work that like works well and we're worried about artificial intelligence, I just,
yeah,
somebody will joke, I for one welcome the new robot overlords.
I like to use that for like remote PowerShell commands and do it on people's computers and have Windows use its voice,
yeah,
voices, yeah, to say it out loud. It's really great. It's fun.
It's apparently a quote from an H.G. Wells story of Empire of Ants, and it's, I for one welcome our new insect overlords.
Okay.
Wow. Very cool.
There you go. There's your little fucking history hole, Aaron. There you go. How's that feel?
Shove that right in there.
Shove that right up your history hole. All right. Thanks, Rebecca. That was a good game.
Sure.
The year is 2256. The galaxy is rife with the stench of humanity. With all of mankind under the control of the galactic ordained democracy, all human pleasures deemed unclean by the G.O.D. have been outlawed. A small group of galactic smugglers have flown under the radar until now. These people are known as the
Space Truckers!
Tiny Tim Thomerson is Dirk Starfucker, the only man in the galaxy that can save the day.
Beep boop bop bop boy! Bad dumb hatches, get me my beer!
Starring Seth Green as Beep Boop Bop Bop Boy.
Like a train hot microwave, spray and plug over!
Jennifer Lawrence as Balloonia, the alien queen. Howie Mandel as Commander Gorsnatch the Great.
Alright, alright, this is neat to be here tonight, this is not...
Come on, let's go!
Space Truckers!
Is now playing at a theater near you.
Okay, Aaron, would you recommend Virtual Combat?
Yeah, I would. It was fun. Definitely had some misses, but overall I think it was pretty entertaining.
Todd?
Yeah, it was a disappointing boss fight for me, but overall it was a bad movie. It hit a lot of the upsides for me. If you like fighting movies especially, like, it just had good fighting. Wooden acting with good fighting. It's a solid recommendation for me.
Rebecca.
I don't think I'm going to recommend this one. It was too much of the same thing over and over again, and I was bored. So, yeah. Nope.
This movie is 90s cheese to the max, and it does get a little boring with all those kick-punching, dick-fighting, whatever we called it. But if you have a bunch of friends and you're watching it and you can zone out a bit, it's a pretty fun time because there's a lot of cool stuff in this movie as well. So I think I will recommend it.
Everybody was dick punch fighting.
All right, next week we are going to watch the 1987 horror movie called Moon in Scorpio.
Ooh.
Has anyone ever heard of that?
Sounds like a Bond film.
I know it does, doesn't it? Let's go check out that trailer.
The moon is in Scorpio.
What's that mean?
It's a time of trouble.
Hey.
A time of fear. Time of death.
All right, what'd you guys think of that trailer?
I think that actually looks pretty cool, and I am not usually a horror fan.
It is some weird ass combination of something going on there.
Yeah, there's
Vietnam
all sorts of
flashback boating.
Well, never one of the tags. Movie. One of the tags said mystery too, so there's going to be a little bit of mystery going on as well.
Looks like the blonde is going to be super annoying, so that'll be fun.
I wasn't quite on board until the very end when that guy gets the harpoon in the neck. Because I was getting, like, not even... What was the other underwater movie we watched recently called? Nobody remembers. It was two episodes ago. You guys...
Yeah, something deep.
Evil Below.
Oh,
yeah. And I was getting, like... They talk about... romance a lot in this trailer, and the trailer's only 40 seconds long.
It's weird. It was like it literally started like a romance like movie. You're like, oh, it's gonna be a drama romance movie, and then people get shot in the neck with harpoons.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's gonna be an interesting one. It's definitely gonna be a slasher of some sort though.
Okay, all right, well, I guess we're in for a surprise here. Sound good, guys? We're gonna set sail on that one next week. Pretty sure we did that the last time we did a boat.
One of you fuckers are walking the plank.
All right, that's gonna do it for Virtual Combat. If you like what you heard, you know, I don't give a shit anymore. You're not gonna do it, so let's just end this. You go watch some videos of stuff. All right, whatever. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast.
you were on your own. If you have any questions or recommendations, send us an email at info@badmovienightpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. You must be crazy. Man, I've seen some bad films. When I say bad, I hadn't watched them all the way through. If I had, I'd be crazy by now.